Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome to Bachelor Blab. I am Jackie Maroney here with, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Oh, a treat. Hello, Erin McNaught here. How is everyone?
Yeah, how are you guys doing? Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you guys are spending some time with family, whether it's virtually or in small groups together, but definitely being safe about everything because it's scary. But of course, we all deserve some time to celebrate with our loved ones. And yeah, we just watched an episode of The Bachelorette, so let's get into it. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I was just going to ask you what your favorite Thanksgiving food was.
Honestly, I think I'm going to be pretty basic and just say stuffing because there's no other time in my life where I ever eat stuffing, to be perfectly honest. I do honorable mention mashed potatoes with gravy, which is definitely a holiday classic, but you can have mashed potatoes with gravy other times, but you really can't have stuffing any other day than Thanksgiving. So I would say that's my favorite. What's yours?
Mine is also stuffing, but that's like the only Thanksgiving food that I care about. Like I just want a glass of wine and a plate of stuffing and I need nothing else.
Honestly though, I might even retract that and say, it's just the gravy. Like I love the flavor. Like obviously I put gravy on the stuffing, put gravy on the mashed potatoes and I put gravy on my entire plate. But like if I could just do like a facial of gravy and then lick it off of my face, that's what I want for Thanksgiving.
See, that's the content that I was looking for from you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I think honestly, the gravy might be my favorite part.
And specifically in the stuffing, just the bread, just the old bread. Like I don't want any of the crusties or anything else. I just give me like a bowl full of cubed bread that's baked in the oven.
I know. It's so good. I do love stuffing. Ugh. So much so that, so my stepmom is making Thanksgiving, but it's very small. It's literally just me, my brother, my dad, and my stepmom, Anna. And she's cooking, but so she's like not going absolutely off because it's just the four of us. But, and she was going to make this stuffing that she likes, which is, it's like a more Hispanic type thing where it's like chorizo and cornbread stuffing. And she asked me if I liked it. I was like, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that I prefer regular stuffing. So she went to Wegmans and just bought me like one of the pre-made little things of normal stuffing so that I can eat it.
Right. Who's to say you can't have both on your plate? You can enjoy both.
Sure. I just like, I need the traditional one. Like I'm open to all other foods. It's just like I need the staples.
Well, so we're doing, so Thanksgiving this year, it's just going to be the two of us, just, you know, to be safe. So I'm still working and I'm still seeing people all the time at work. So it's just the two of us. So Adam is cooking, he cooks, I don't cook. I don't cook. I do kind of clean and I don't have a ring. So there you go. Anyways, that was my WAP. that's my WAP's take. So he's doing all the cooking, but he wouldn't make stuffing. He was like, I don't really like stuffing. I'm not gonna make stuffing. So I was like, okay, like I could figure out how to make stuffing. No, I just ordered stuffing from a restaurant that serves six to eight people. So it'll just be me and a giant tray of stuffing on Thanksgiving. I can't wait.
That's amazing. 6 to 8 people. But I guarantee you'll be able to eat all of it in one sitting.
Serving sizes mean nothing to me. That's my superpower. Yeah. Is destroying serving sizes.
Are you making any dishes or was your contribution just buying the stuffing?
I bought stuffing from the restaurant, cornbread, and my contribution is that I'm going to go pick those things up.
Amazing. I love that for you.
Thank you so much.
Our friend who's a baker, Daniel Colonel, at Daniel Colonel's Cakes. I think that's his Instagram.
I think it's D Colonel's Cakes.
Vote for him for greatest baker.
By the way, yes.
Actually, I will actually put that link in the bio of this episode because our friend Daniel Colonel is an amazing baker and he is in this quarter semifinals of a baking competition. And the grand prize is not only a feature in the Greatest Baker magazine, but $10,000. And that would be so crucial for him to fund his business. And his dream has always been to have his own cake business. So this would just be like monumental in his career. Okay. Shameless plug. We're done with that. But so Dan sent me a pumpkin cheesecake recipe. So I'm going to try to make that. And then I'm also going to make lobster mac and cheese with truffle. We'll see how that goes, but I'm buying the ingredients at Wegmans tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, gentlemen, come wife this lady up.
Honestly, I'm low-key kind of good at cooking. I feel like
I always think of you when I think of my inadequacies in that area. I'm like, Jackie can just like whip up a steak dinner, like nobody's business, like just on a casual Wednesday night. I literally would not know what to do with the steak. I think about it on a weekly basis. You cooking steak. It's a frequent thought that I have.
It probably happens at the very least once a week. I do love a good steak dinner.
I know you do.
But thank you. Wait, that actually means a lot because I don't think I'm like an amazing cook by any means, but I do think I can cook things.
Girl, I'm definitely above average, I would say. So you're definitely above average. Most certainly. Thank you
so much. I didn't know people thought this about me.
Oh, you're welcome. Wow. What a great little Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving hype each other up corner.
All right, well, let's get into the episode then, I guess.
I don't know how to segue. I was trying to think of a clever segue.
I know. Segues are always very hard. Maybe speaking one day we'll be really advanced with the editing and we can put a little like, do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. Speaking of things that were all over the place, let's talk about tonight's episode. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
What were your overall thoughts?
Overall, I thought, you know, like once again, I think it was very similar to last week's where we now have another classic Bachelorette episode. And the drama feels very like fabricated and producer planted where I'm like, these aren't real problems. Like this is just normally how the show goes. You guys are making shit up to cause problems before we get to the end of the show where there might actually be real problems. So we're just kind of in this weird limbo, I feel.
I don't know. I have to disagree a little. Last week's episode I thought was boring. This week I thought, I actually kind of liked it. I thought there were some really great moments, which we can get into. And some of the drama I felt was obviously producer planted.
Yes.
But it was almost so obvious that it was producer planted that it made it comical. There was a lot of moments in this episode where I genuinely was laughing out loud. I don't remember the last time I've watched Bachelorette and just been like dying of laughter.
Yeah, it was actually funny. Like when Ed shows up at Chris Harrison's room and then they have their whole little debacle, that was funny.
That was hilarious. The orgasm noises were hilarious.
Oh, right.
Hilarious. Like there was just some moments that were just genuinely funny. I feel like they're leaning in to kind of that, like, let's poke up fun at ourselves. Like, let's be funny. And I like that. Make me laugh.
I do too. It's fun. I mean, the show doesn't always have to be crying all the time.
No.
It kind of almost reminded me a little bit of Paradise where it's like very self-aware. And obviously I only watch these seasons so that I can get to Paradise. Cause that to me is the meat of pure entertainment.
I almost feel like at this point, in order to keep up with the way that reality shows are changing, you have to kind of start to break that fourth wall.
Yeah.
You have to start to become a little more self-aware as a show. I mean, we saw it last season on The Housewives of Beverly Hills, where they totally broke the fourth wall. You know, you could hear the producers asking questions. I just think for reality shows to be able to keep up with how smart viewers are now, you kind of have to recreate it. And for a show that's been running as long as The Bachelor has, they really have to realize, okay, we can't just do the same old song and dance forever. You got to keep up with the times.
Yeah. No, I love seeing little producer moments. Like if I see a producer on screen, I'm like, oh, this is gold.
Yes. Because it's honest. Right.
What are your hot takes? I'm going through mine to see which are the most lukewarm and which are the most piping hot.
Okay, I can start with a lukewarm one.
Okay.
I would absolutely hate to have any man sing to me a song that they made up. The entire beginning of the episode, I wanted to turn off. It was so cringe to me. There's just something about somebody singing to, whether they're good or bad, that just makes me feel cringy. I know everybody doesn't feel that way, but to me, it's cringe. How do you feel?
I was shocked at how bad literally all of them were. Like, I get that music is not everyone's thing. Of course, I was expecting some people to be bad, but I was expecting some people to be able to like whip out a tune. The fact that the winner literally just like basically did spoken word poetry and didn't actually sing a song was annoying to me. I was like, really? Absolutely none of you guys can make a simple, like literally put Tayshia's name into Old MacDonald had a farm and you would literally be doing better than the winner.
Some of us don't think that way though, because I thought of myself, if I was given that date, I would just have to be like, unfortunately at this point, I'm going to have to remove myself from the competition.
Send yourself home.
I'm just going to pack my bags and go because I will never love anyone enough to write a song and sing it to them. I just can't do it.
Aw.
That's actually false, because when I'm like being like funny and silly, I will sing a song, but just in that setup, it just felt so awkward.
Yeah, you sing Rose and Thorn every single week and it is beautiful.
Thank you so much for saying that. That is true. So I can make up a song. I just don't love the idea of someone else making up a song about me and then singing it to me.
That's fair. Television. And I get that is cringe and it's personal and it's weird and it's like, ooh, what are you going to say about me? Yeah, my takeaway from that was like, I just couldn't believe that none of them, not even one, could step up and have something semi-decent. Like, I'm not expecting some amazing orchestration here. Like, literally, a simple melody would do. But
would have been nice, but no.
These men are talentless. They're great. They have great careers, but have no other extracurriculars. Yeah.
All right, what's your lukewarm take?
My lukewarm take is that when Ivan and Tayshia were in the hotel room together having their date, and then they started having the pillow fight, never in my life have I ever seen pillows explode like that with feathers. And that annoyed me because I'm like, this is not real. Like I don't care how hard you hit someone with a pillow, it would never explode like that with that excess. I don't even think there's that many feathers like that in a pillow. Maybe I just don't know enough about pillows, but well, I do know that when you smack them, they do not explode with feathers all over the place. Like you have to literally cut the pillow open to have the feathers come out. Like well, just that, doing a casual pillow fight is not going to do it.
Right. That pillow was definitely pre-cut. I mean, the feathers
were that's
like
what I'm saying.
Spilling out of the pillow before she even swung the pillow at him.
Right. Like, do they think we're stupid? Like, why do you have a pre-cut pillow in this hotel room for the pillow fight? Like, a normal pillow fight would have been fine. I just like, don't insult our intelligence, Derek. Like, oh my God.
Yes. And what bumped me out about the pillow, the pre-cut pillow gate, was that before that, the floor is lava game was so sweet. It was so cute. We didn't need the pillow fight. We didn't need that in the episode. We didn't need feathers flying everywhere. I thought it was okay the way that it was.
Yeah. I mean,
ooh, you look like you disagree.
Well, I didn't really like the floor is lava thing. I just thought in general, it's like, really? This is Ivan's one-on-one date, is like sitting in a hotel room and playing the floor is lava and then having a pillow fight? Like, it wasn't, I don't know. I mean, they obviously had a very good date afterwards, and I'll talk about that later. But that in itself, I was like, if I was on the show and then finally got my one-on-one, because you don't really get many of those. At the most, you get two, but mostly everyone only gets one. And that was yours, just like sitting in the hotel room and playing games, I would be pissed.
See, I completely disagree. That would be my ideal date.
We're so different in how we approach these things.
Come over to your apartment. We just get to play this silly game and jump on furniture and giggle and laugh. And like that kind of breaks the ice. We get to eat ice cream. They actually ate food. That ice cream looked delicious.
Yeah.
And then they just sat outside and drank wine. Oh my gosh. Great date. I'll go on that date any day.
Okay. Agree. Disagree. My biggest grievance though was the pillows. Like,
yes, oh I agree. I had a grievance about the pillows as well. Agreed on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. I genuinely enjoyed the truth or dare date. It was corny and there was cringe moments that the orgasm thing, as I said before, I was laughing out loud, but even like the drinking challenge, like just brought me to Survivor and I love Survivor and I've been really missing Survivor because they couldn't film and it's, you know, not the new season's not out yet. And I was just like, wow, I just love grown men just drinking gross stuff to prove, things. It was so fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I did like it. I think it was so often I feel like these group dates are so repetitive from what we've seen before. So this was a new one. It was fun. Would you ever drink one of those juices? I was thinking though, I was like, I think most of the challenge is more mental than it is actual taste, because like they're not going to give you something that will actually hurt you. So I feel like I'd be good at drinking stuff like that. Did you consider that?
Yes, I did. Well, because I always consider it when we watch Survivor and they do things like that too. The problem is on Survivor, like the bug is literally crawling. And so,
yeah,
like those things I don't think I would do as well with. But this, it was all blended up. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it probably tasted like a normal smoothie.
Your mind knows that there's like liver or whatever weird thing that they put in there, but chicken feet, but you can't see it. It's not it didn't look chunky. That's what I was looking out for. I was trying to look to see were there chunks in the smoothies or were there not, and it didn't look like chunky smoothies. So I think I could suck it up and do it, especially in a competitive environment.
Totally. I mean,
you know, I get psycho, so.
Yeah. This is like a small, stupid one. When Bennett brought up to Tayshia that he is like not that into getting married because his parents had a troubled marriage, I'm like, oh my God, we're soulmates. We really, really are. That's my only take.
I tried to tell you. You're truly soulmates. I mean, even his line about in his little weird rap that he made about, you know, eating brie in Paris together.
I know.
Girl, that's you.
Bennett, slide into the DMs. Or maybe, maybe I'll slide into yours. It's 2020, people.
Yeah, shoot your shot, girl.
I don't even know what I would say. I don't know. Maybe I actually will because he'll never respond, but we'll
try to get him on the pod.
Honestly, yeah, that's really how.
And then we'll reel him in.
You reel him in. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, that was it. Just that we are becoming more and more compatible by the episode. Every single episode, I'm like, oh my God, me and Bennett, who knew?
I love that so much for you.
Thank you.
Me Money wasn't really in this episode, so.
No, he wasn't.
I had a little break from him.
Also, low key, he's knocked out of my top four. I think Bennett's in the top four. Or Bennett? Also Noah. So I already said Zach C, Ben, and Ivan, and this episode definitely solidified Ivan in the top four. And I always had a questionable fourth slot. And now I'm like, I think Bennett might be like a dark horse rando there or Noah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, I think Noah as well. As I said, I'm totally fine if she wants to send B Money home. She can send him right home to my apartment.
Exactly. Where is he from? Where does he live?
Boston.
Oh.
Hence why I was asking you about Boston.
Right.
I was doing research.
Okay, it's all making sense now. Got it. Okay.
This is what got in my mind, this trope of Boston men. And I was like, I wonder about Boston men. I've never thought about them before, so.
Yeah, for all the listeners at home, Erin literally texted me a couple of days ago saying, wow, I think I just like love men from Boston. And then we discussed how Boston would be a great city for her personally to live in, because I do think you would actually very much like it for several reasons that I listed when we discussed it. But I didn't realize that it was deeply rooted in B Money. I didn't know that's where this was coming from, but now it all makes sense.
Yeah. I was telling Adam, because I was showing him his Instagram. He was like, why are you showing this to me? I was like, I just never had, like, I never get crushes. I'm just so excited to have a crush. He was like, you know what? Okay, whatever makes you happy. So he's supportive. I think the next thing that I would just like to say, and I think that you're not going to like this take.
Oh, no.
I wrote it down thinking that it's controversial because I know your feelings about this person. But I just really appreciate Chris Harrison getting into character this year. He, in 2020, is just giving us new levels of Chris Harrison. He's signing butts. I mean, he's cleaning up after people. Like, he just is, he's just making entertaining television. And it's pure fun, a little bit of cringe, but mostly pure fun. And I appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's been way more visible than we have seen him in seasons past, which I do like. Like, it was so funny to me when he was just like sitting there eating crab legs and drinking champagne. I'm like, this is the Chris Harrison we know and love. Like, I always envisioned that this is what you do in your spare time, exactly. But I never literally saw it in front of me. And it was nice to see it.
Right. So thank you, Chris Harrison, for confirming what we all already knew.
This is like a random one, but Becca Kufrin and Tayshia are not friends. They were not on the same season of, like, and also, was that Sydney, like the rando Sydney, also from Colton season? Okay. Yes. That's why I eventually realized it was. But at first, I was like, oh, is this like one of Tayshia's actual friends from home? Or was she on like some far back season that I never watched before? And then I was like, oh, no, she's. What is it about her that makes her so unrememberable? Because not only was she on Colton season, she was on Paradise. Like, I think she dated Mike Johnson for a hot second on Paradise. And then eventually it fizzled out and whatever. But she's so unrememberable. Like,
I think she's just very kind of calm and low key. I think that's kind of her personality. On Colton's, she's a she was a dancer. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, big part of her story or whatever. On Colton's season, I think she sent herself home.
Yeah, she did. I do remember. That's the one thing I remember about her.
Because she was like, this is no for me, which
yeah.
I have to
respect it. No, absolutely.
Always. But I also had, I wrote down the same thing, our Becca and Tayshia friends. Like, Becca, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
you guys aren't friends. Just don't lie to us. And you can show up and host the date. I don't care. But don't say, these are my best friends. And then it's Becca.
Right. My best friends in the whole entire world. Like, I doubt that.
What? That's not true. That's a great random one. I love that. I have a very random one. It's very serious. I just would like to give a public apology to Spencer because really hated on him in that first episode that he appeared, perhaps just 1 week ago, maybe two. And I misjudged him. I'm not saying that he's a good person because he wasn't in this episode at all, but I'm saying that I was very dramatic about how bad of a person he was, and I apologize.
Yeah, but there's still time, you know? Like, just because he wasn't in this episode doesn't mean he won't be problematic in the future, because he did give problematic energy.
He gave problematic energy, and then Noah said, I see your problematic energy, and I raise you times 1,000.
Right, exactly.
So I don't think I'll ever hate a contestant more than I hate Noah, which I say every season.
Speaking of Noah, what was even happening at the end of the episode there with Noah taking Tayshia aside? He said something, she said something, and then she was mad. And I genuinely was like, what is even happening? I don't. Can you please explain to me?
I have thoughts on this. So obviously the guys were, you know, Noah went on that date. He got the rose when in their eyes was against the rules. Mm-hmm. And they were all being very passive aggressive to him. Clearly they were making comments to him. They're making comments to you, sir, because they don't like you. They didn't say anything about Tayshia. And then he went to Tayshia in that conversation. And it was, to me, it came across as very, very manipulative, like classic manipulator. He said, you know, well, I don't care what they say about me, but this says this, this, and this about you. So basically he just said to himself in his mind, what are her insecurities? And how can I use those insecurities, whether he on the surface realizes that he's doing it or not, used her insecurities to then kind of just put this little doubt in her mind. And she lost it because that was what she was most insecure about. She's trying really hard to be authentic. And he's saying, well, they're questioning your authenticity. When they question why you give a rose, therefore that must mean that they're questioning your authenticity. And so he was kind of drawing conclusions based on the guys, I think, just to be manipulative. And because he's immature, I think.
Yeah, but no, I see that from his perspective, because of course the guys are going to be like, oh, well, because they're jealous. He was there and to be like, oh, well, you didn't get it because she actually likes you. You got it because it's a TV show and they need to stir the pot, blah, 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 blah. But I don't get why Tayshia would take that so personally. Like if someone had said that to me or in a different situation, why wouldn't Tayshia just be like, okay, well, weird that they said that, but I didn't just do this for the show. I actually do like you, which is why I gave you the rose. And like, that's that.
I think because, and this is what people who are manipulative are good at, right? Like, they know what your insecurity is. And I think for Tayshia, that is her insecurity in this show. And that's the thing. Like, he pushed the right button. He picked the correct button for her. I'm sure if he said, you know, somebody said you're ugly, she might be like, I'm not ugly, whatever. But this is what she's insecure about. So she kind of flew off the handle. And I felt bad for her because I thought that she looked foolish. I love a bachelorette yelling at a group of men. I live for it. But in this case, I don't think that it was warranted. And I think that she ended up looking kind of foolish for believing Noah. I mean, I understand she was manipulated, but I don't think any of those men did anything for her to be
I guess just like, I didn't really understand what she felt that I get like being triggered by that. I don't get what she felt that she had to defend. I'm like still not getting it. I don't know.
I think it's just the way that he kind of spun it to say, basically the guys are saying that you're not authentic and you're just giving me a rose to start drama. That's what they're saying about you.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, what the heck? Why would they say that about me? That's not true. And then she lost her mind a little.
Yeah.
Which we all do, girl. I mean, whatever.
But it was confusing. Like, is it just me? Like that was very like choppy and confusing in my opinion.
It was, and it could just be editing, right? Like it could just be the way that they edited it. But it was confusing because, you know, he kind of said X, Y, Z and I think you saw her get so upset and you kind of were thinking to yourself, why is she so upset? Like, I don't really think anybody here did anything wrong. And I think that's why the guys were so angry, and as they should be. Although, shout out to them because they were so calm. Even when they talked to Noah afterwards, they were really calm. Like, they put him in his place and they spoke their minds and everything, but nobody threatened him. Nobody, I don't know. I just felt like it was pretty calm and handled well. This person went home, so it's okay now because we won't have to hear it anymore. But I absolutely hated that Kenny called her T. What was that?
When did he call her that? I didn't even catch that.
The whole episode. Because at first, I thought he said the wrong name and called her Tia. And I was like, that's not her name. But then he did it. Every time he spoke, he called her T. And I realized, oh, no, this is just his nickname for her. I am not into somebody giving somebody else a nickname that's not their nickname. I don't like
that. Wait, really? I love a cute little, especially a first initial nickname. It's very Gossip Girl. Like, thanks, E. Thanks, Queen Bee. Thanks, T.
Yeah, it's okay if you say it to me, but I don't know. There was just something about it that just did not sit right with me.
I honestly didn't even catch any of that. I don't know. I don't think that bothers me too much to call Tayshia T. Hey, T. But it's also kind of weird because
it's
I feel cute
when you do it.
Oh, so maybe you just don't like Kenny.
That could also be it.
But it's also weird too because especially with T, I think he's talking about like tea. That's not the tea. You drink, but like the gossip.
Right.
Hey, T.
I just didn't like it. I just had to get that off my chest.
That's fine. I respect that. I respect your opinion.
Thank you so much.
I think I'm into first initial nicknames. That's just me. I don't know.
I think I'm into them too, except for just not, I guess, when Kenny does it.
Yeah. So I think you just don't like Kenny.
Well, for somebody who's a boy band manager, you would just think that he would be good
also,
at singing.
Also, wait, was he on the singing date? He was, right?
And his
He's
song
a
was
boy
no
band
good.
Manager and couldn't write literally one little, not even a whole song, a verse of a song, a jingle, one
his
line.
His song was, T, you put the T in my heart.
Oh, yeah. And his stupid, and like, what are those called? They're not acrostic. You know how it's like T is for blah, T, A yes. is for, so it's like an acrostic poem.
This
didn't even make
grade.
Sense. Like he would say A is for, but then he wouldn't say something that started with A. And it's like, I don't think you understand how these poems work. He's obviously a terrible boy band manager. Like,
you're bad at your job, sir.
Where is he from? I think he's from Chicago too, which
Chicago.
Is like figures. Okay. Ed
which
and Tayshia.
Chicago.
Well, I just don't think it's not really the hub of the entertainment industry, you know?
I don't know. Chicago might disagree. Are you from Chicago? Slide into the DMs. Let us
yes,
know.
Yes, let us. I've honestly only been there once in my life, but.
Send Jackie some hate mail.
I don't get good vibes from it.
I've been there once too. I enjoyed it. They had good pizza.
Yeah.
But I could only eat one slice, and that's saying a lot for
yes,
me.
Yes, it's very filling.
Yeah. As mentioned it's earlier, like I can eat a lot.
Right.
Yeah. It's a lot of cheese.
Okay.
Anyways.
One is more take that's lukewarm before I get into maybe a little hotter one, but it's more of a hotter discussion, is that yeah. Ed and Tayshia have literally never spoken before on screen. Why was he the one that was saved? Over Chasen? And was Kenny went home, and I feel like there was one other person that I actually
Jordan
knew their
C.
name of.
Jordan C. and Joe.
Yeah. Out of all of those guys, why would she save Ed? I really thought she was going to save Chasen. Because they at least had some semblance of a relationship.
I was also surprised with giving it to Ed. But then when I reflected on it, I think the producers love Ed.
Yeah.
Because he's a good sport. They can wind him up very easily and kind of send him off to yell at anyone. I mean, that whole bit where he was going, yeah, like, it was hilarious. True. But he clearly knew he was not going to see Tayshia.
Well, right. And even if he
that
thought
so
he did,
scripted.
Why did no producer say, wait, actually, you're going the wrong way to Tayshia's room. It's over here.
I don't believe for a minute that he doesn't yeah. know where Tayshia's room is. He's not that unintelligent. I think
also, I don't think it's
setup.
That big of a resort. Like, I think...
And he went along with it. He was such a good sport about it.
True.
I think they gave him the biggest baby award and he carried that baby around. Like, he's just a good sport and I think he's a producer favorite. So I mm-hmm. think that's why they kept him around.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. just like, ugh, I'm over it. Like, because we've had the whole Claire thing and then Tayshia started late, I feel like we're just past this kind of stuff in the season, which I guess technically we're not, because Tayshia's only been the Bachelorette for what, 3 episodes now at this point?
Yeah.
So I keep just feeling in 2 different lanes where on one hand, she's only had 3 episodes, but on the other hand, I'm like, I've been watching this season for like 6-7 weeks now. We should be down to a handful of guys that I like care about and feel like all of these relationships are viable. So it's just kind of weird.
All right. And then I feel like my last take is going to be yours, because this is the only really big thing that we didn't talk about yet. Mm-hmm. Was the Ivan date.
Yes.
So I obviously loved it. I mean, I loved it from the beginning when they played Flora's Lava. Ivan was one of my faves from the beginning. But I think he really shone on this date. He was so vulnerable. His story is heartbreaking. Like, it just was amazing to see a conversation, a real conversation about being Black in America and police brutality and the violence in the prison system on ABC television during a show that consistently has issues with diversity, addressing real things, having real conversations. This was maybe the realest conversation I have ever seen on this show. And I'm just so happy that Ivan is in our lives.
Yes, I totally agree. And I wrote down the same thing, that it is very, never once have we seen an inkling of any sort of political conversation on The Bachelor. Not to say that even what they were talking about was innately super.
I don't think it's
right,
political.
But it's something more serious and more of substance than just, oh, it's like, tell me where you grew up, or you know what I mean. This was like, we've never seen anything political. We've never seen them discuss anything about politics on The Bachelor. They've never discussed religion on The Bachelor. But those things are so fundamental to having a relationship with someone. Like, you kind of need to make sure you're on the same page about like certain basic things. Yeah, not to say that this conversation was innately political, but it was a very serious conversation that if you're going to be in a relationship with someone, you need to be having a conversation like this. And we have literally never seen it happen on the show before. I was just convinced that they only talked about that in the fantasy suites and they were told to talk about other things outside of it, or they just edited these conversations out because they didn't think it made for good TV. But clearly it does. Clearly these are fundamental conversations that you need to have if you're going to be getting into a relationship with someone. And so, yeah, I was just glad that they showed it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So like you said, I don't think it was a political conversation because it was really just them talking about their life experiences.
Yeah, totally.
Like, their life experiences aren't politics, but it was so nice to just kind of see them address even just real world issues, mm-hmm. right? I mean, even the fact that they said it's 2020. I mean, I feel like I've never on the show before seen them address the year that it's in.
I know.
You could just take any season and just stick it in 1999 and you would be like, sure, it was in 1999.
That's so true. They've never acknowledged that there's a world outside of the Bachelor bubble. Yeah, that's
exactly.
So true.
So I thought that was great to see. I mean, clearly Tayshia did not want to talk about it. It was hard to even see her almost be so vulnerable. And I thought of you immediately because you talked about in the beginning when we found out it was Tayshia, like, I wonder what her experiences have been being from Orange County and growing up in that community. So just kind of hearing her talk about that and having them bond over that experience. It was just so wholesome and real, and bravo to both of them.
Totally. I don't know if you've like seen any other interviews with Tayshia, like when she was first becoming the Bachelor and stuff. I listened to one, it was like on the Bachelor happy hour one where it's Rachel Lindsay and Becca Kufrin. And so Tayshia was on and they were talking to her. And I just got the sense in that interview and just in other interviews in the past of Tayshia that she is very cautious about saying the wrong thing. So she doesn't really say anything or take really a strong stance or position, even when it comes to things at like the show, or like, oh, you know, like everyone was great, I loved my experience, blah. Whereas like this was legitimately the first time I saw Tayshia like have a strong opinion on anything, because I feel like she's always been very like happy-go-lucky and like very afraid to say the wrong thing or upset anyone or offend everyone, like always trying to be on and be like that kind of perfect person. So it was so refreshing to see.
Absolutely. And I think given just even what she shared in tonight's episode about how she grew up and constantly mm-hmm. trying to prove herself and make these people from her community accept her and realize that she's just like them, it makes a lot of sense why she tries really hard to make sure that she doesn't say anything that's right. wrong and she says the right thing. Like that makes totally. Sense. Cause I think at that point for her, it's almost like a safety thing, right? Whether it's actual safety or not, it's like, it's a safety thing. I want my community to accept me.
Right. It's so much easier to fit in if you don't make any waves. You know what I mean? It's like, just go, yes. just accept it, go under the radar, be pleasant. Yeah. Totally.
Absolutely. So I was really, it was just such a pleasant surprise to get. I think Ivan is going to be a fan favorite for a long yes. time after yes, this. Yes. Whether or not he wins in the end, I think he's going to be I think we're going to get a lot of fan favorites from this season.
Yes. We've said this a gazillion times. It's a great season. I hope they do Paradise. Because also, too, there's all the girls from Peter's season that never got it. Like, I want Madison
and, please don't give it to
and
them.
Hannah Ann back on.
Absolutely not.
And then Kelly and Peter need to break up. Like, I want Peter, Hannah Ann, and Madison, like, back on the beach.
Why are you trying to do this to me?
Like, put Victoria no. F. in there. Like, let's no. really get it going.
I don't ever want to see any of the girls from Peter's cast or Peter Weber on my television screen ever again in my entire life. I don't follow any of them on Instagram. Sometimes Peter and Kelly were showing up on my TikTok. Sometimes those other girls were showing up on my TikTok. I immediately swiped so they would get out of my algorithm. I don't ever want to live that experience again.
Okay. Well, honestly, before Peter and Kelly got together, I thought Paradise was going to be Peter, Madison, Hannah Ann, Victoria F., all on the beach again. And I would have been addicted to that. I think that's great.
You would have been. I just think we're beyond it. I think we're too far past it.
Just that's like, true. Let it no, go. I know. I've forgotten all about Peter's gals.
And we can bring back old favorites. Like, I know Alexis Waters has a boyfriend, but, you know, bring her back. Oh,
I love
day.
Her. She's so fun.
You know what I mean? Like, there are some great people in Bachelor Nation that I'm happy for you to bring mm-hmm. back onto the show. We're just going to skim right over that season.
All right, Rose and Thorn, let's get it. Okay, my Rose is going to Chris Harrison for finally doing his job and really earning that $60,000 per episode or however much he gets paid. Like, come on, dude, you got to work for it a little bit. And I liked seeing him do something. Now I need to think of a Thorn. So if you have anything to add, go for it.
I was going to say I'll give my rose to Ivan, although I feel like that's too obvious of a one. So I like to go, you know, more of an underdog. So shout out to you, Ivan. You get my rose, but I'm going to give my real rose to Riley.
Oh,
I feel like Riley is such a slept on, member of this cast. He's so calm. When all the nonsense was going on with Noah, he really kind of was the one that was like, okay, out with it. And just the way that he spoke so calm and firm, you can definitely see that he's a lawyer. I think that he's really nice and genuine, and he comes across as very sincere and kind of calm and caring. So shout out to you, Riley. You got a rose to speak.
My Thorn goes to
Noah.
Yeah, but it's so obvious.
I don't even want to waste my breath.
A little bit better. Okay, my Thorn goes to the La Quinta resort people, because they're like, it's only like week three of Tayshia and they're like out of good dates. Like, are you kidding? You literally pick.
Okay, the well, dates?
No, they don't run the. They don't make the dates, but it's like you could have put this show in any resort in the entire world. You selected La Quinta Resort, so it's not their fault. But it's just like, this is week three and our dates are now sitting in a hotel room playing The Floor is Lava. Like, are you kidding? There's no like other area for, I don't know, like a water slide with the pool or like a little mini golf thing. Or like, I don't know, what else is that resorts random? Like, there are so many other resorts that are bigger with other activities. I just cannot believe we are in week three and we're done.
agree that the dates could be better, but I do kind of enjoy the challenge of having to come up with dates all in one place. I just think it's kind of a little bit janky and I don't hate it.
Yeah. What do you think they're going to do for hometowns though? Like, obviously they're not going to people's hometowns, but like, are they going to Zoom parents?
I don't know.
Or are they going to fly parents in, quarantine them, and but they'll fly in like six set of parents, whoever's left, and then obviously who makes it to the final four, those parents will be on the show, and then two groups of parents after quarantining for 14 days will just get on a flight back home.
Potentially I could see that, but possibly with fewer people, so maybe we would see hometowns at three or two left in that case.
Interesting.
My rose this week, my thorn. We're talking about thorn. Oh my goodness, my brain. My thorn is going to go to Noah. I don't even want to talk about it, but I hate you and you suck.
Great.
You get seven thorns.
Love that.
And the last thing I just want to say in Bachelor Nation news is that Caitlin Bristow won Dancing with the Stars last night.
Yes.
I have my, woo! I wore my, my do scrunchie all day today for her in her honor.
So good. I was very happy for her. Even though I didn't even watch Dancing with the Stars at all, I like heard on Twitter that she won, but good. I think she deserves it. And I'm sure she is absolutely over the moon happy about it.
The joy on her face when they announced her as the winner was like beyond. It was so sweet. I mean, I haven't watched the whole season, but I tried to like keep up and watch her dances and stuff, and she just worked so hard, and I'm just really happy for her.
Who else was even on it? Like, Carol Baskin was there for a hot second, right?
Yeah, she went home, I think, the first episode. So the final four, Nelly was in the final four. Neve from Catfish.
I don't know.
He was in second place. The show Catfish?
Yeah, what is that?
On MTV?
Neve? Never heard of that before in my life.
No way. The show where he goes and he talks to people who are talking to people online and they're afraid they're being catfished, and then they go and investigate and usually they are being catfished.
That sounds familiar, but I feel like it's more like To Catch a Predator.
No, that's when the guy, that's a different show. That's when the guy goes and talks about, and they secretly talk to men who think they're talking to little kids. And then he goes into their kitchens and he sits down with them and they try to run away.
Right. That sounds like the same show to me.
Two completely different shows, but To Catch a Predator is excellent television. In high school, I became obsessed with that show, and I became obsessed with the sex offender registry, and I knew where all the sex offenders were in our town.
Oh, great. I would love to know that information.
I can no longer remember, but I really got into it. I mapped out where all their houses were and things, so I have normal pastimes. It's fine.
I'm, like, shocked at this information, but, like, were you doing as a precautionary measure because you didn't want to be around sex offenders? Valid, but like very mature of you as a, 12-year-old girl being like, this is something important that I should focus on.
It was in high school, so it was like sophomore year. So I would say I was 15. I want to say part of it definitely precautionary. Part of it was just a hobby of mine. That's really where my true crime obsession began.
Right.
But they say that a lot of that true crime obsession comes out of anxiety. Instead of avoiding it, we want to collect all the information of all the terrible things that could possibly happen to us because we convince ourselves that that will make it, we'll be more prepared when that thing happens. But normally it just makes you more anxious.
No, it's true. Honestly, I feel like you know so much about getting murdered that if we were both in a situation and someone was coming in to murder both of us, I would feel a little bit better about it because I think you'd be able to save us.
Oh my God, that means so much to me. Wow, thank you for saying that.
You're welcome. I truly believe it too.
I don't know if I do, but I'm going to tell myself that because it makes me feel better.
Okay.
This was a weird episode. Yeah. I liked it though.
Is there anything else we need to say?
I don't think so. Like, subscribe, swipe up.
Guys, please subscribe and give us 5 stars and only 5 stars. If you're considering giving us 4 or below, don't give us
a
review at all.
Speak to us again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Follow us on Instagram.
Vote for Dan.
Vote for Dan for greatest baker. Honestly, I wish... Maybe I'll even post a picture of one of his cakes on the Bachelor Blab Instagram because he makes flowers out of pure sugar that literally look like real flowers.
I don't know how to express to people how talented he is.
He really is very talented. He deserves it sure. But also follow us on Instagram at Bachelor Blab. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening and have a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.